This episode of the FitCast is brought to you by Organifi at Organifi.com, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com. You can use the code FITCAST to get 20% off your order. That's F-I-T-C-A-S-T. I'm going to talk to you about them a little bit more halfway through the show, but if you're a little bit impatient like me, you might want to go over right now and just place an order for the greens juice. Trust me, once you check out that greens product, you're never going to want to go anywhere else. Let's get to the show. Hello and welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show I have Brian Patrick Murphy. How you doing, man?
Oh, dude, I'm so pumped to be back. I can't believe it. I feel so special.
But yeah, this is getting up there. This is getting into like the Dan John pantheon of multiple guest spots on the FitCast.
That can't possibly be true. Is that right? Is this what, three or four?
I think this is four in this show. Plus, we got to do that awesome first episode of We Are Recording, which people should go back and listen to that. I think we're getting up there, but it's still not enough because I feel like we have a lot to discuss.
Well, we certainly always have enough to discuss off the record, so hopefully we can have enough to discuss on the record, too.
That's true. You know, we've been warming up for 30 minutes, catching up on life, and, you know, that's kind of the crazy thing. First off, I mean, we're recording this the day after the event, but you know, some crazy stuff in New York last night. Everything all right on your end?
Yeah, man, thanks. Yeah, you know, it's wild. I was luckily home. My wife was in the city at work, but so certainly we weren't personally affected. And you know, I'll say this for New Yorkers, it's a very resilient city. I love this city because of that. And it tends to, as many things do, and I won't get on a rant about it, I swear, but it tends to explode. Oh, I didn't mean to use that word, but it tends to other people freak out, you know, in the news world and in the outer world more than New Yorkers do. New Yorkers are like, oh, wow, that was scary. This thing happened and on with the show. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be, at least from my perspective. And again, I wasn't around there, so I can't imagine how terrifying that would have been to be on that street. But certainly circle, that seems to be the feeling today.
It's hard to argue with New York. I mean, I'm a Boston boy, but New York's the best city in the world. There's no doubt.
I think so too, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I actually went on I was feeling very emotional last night about New York City, and on my Facebook page I posted quite a long what I thought to be kind of love letter to New York last night about all my neighbors. You should read it, Kevin. You'll like it a lot. But about how beautiful it is to live in such a diverse and loving city, which it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. The portrayal of New York City in lots of films is like the New Yorker saying, like, you know, calling people bums and stuff. But it's a very loving and inclusive place, and it's something that has to be said because there's just so many people in there that the high quality level of people that do end up living in New York City is something that's worth keeping in mind. It's a great city.
It absolutely is. The second, actually, I was a little bit late getting on the phone with you today because I got stopped outside my apartment door. My next door neighbors are from Morocco and they're Muslims. And I stopped and talked with the mother and their 13-year-old son. And just on the street, we were talking about the Muslim holiday last week. They had a really big last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. But she was telling me all about it. She was like, oh, yeah, we sacrifice a sheep. And, you know, then we eat it and we pray. And she's like, just on the street, she's smiling. She's laughing. We're chatting about it. I was like, tell me more about your holiday. That's so cool. Like she was telling me about like Ishmael and Abraham. And I was like, that's so cool. You know, and I was like, that's awesome. I was genuinely interested, and we're like hugging and kissing on the cheek while she has her head wrap on. And it was kind of a really lovely New York experience for a Sunday morning.
I love it. I'm looking for it. I think I'm going to be back in New York this October, and I can't wait to get back there to just experience the amazing city. I never get to stay there long enough, which is the sad thing, but amazing people, amazing culture, amazing history in that city. You could literally spend a lifetime just, you know, walking around that city and discovering new beautiful things.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, you better make sure you tell me when you're coming so that we can set up some dates.
Absolutely. Yeah. If people are going to be in the New York area on October 16th, we're actually going to be, the CFSC is going to be at Drive 495 there. This is the one New York event we're going to be doing there this winter or this fall and winter. So make sure if you're near New York and you're thinking about getting certified, that's going to be the one to get to. And probably by the time that you hear this, there's only going to be like six spots left. Like right now, there's like 10, but judging by the way that things are trending, that one always sells out. So keep that in mind. So, I mean, the first thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, at MFF, you guys are now expanding. Are you still in the process of expanding to that second facility? Is it up and running, or is that something that you guys are still kind of putting together right now?
Great question. Yes. No. We're not open yet. I keep laughing about it. Another thing that's great, I say with a wink about New York, is that everything is going to cost twice as much and take twice as long as you think it's going to take, even when you plan really well. But yeah, now it looks like we're hoping for to open it up at the end of October. So yeah, man, it's going to be in a totally different neighborhood, and it's absolutely terrifying and exciting and thrilling. But it's we have a lot of faith that that our product and what we do is going to be able to reach out to even more people in a completely different neighborhood in the city.
I love it. Like, so are you going to be at that second facility a lot, or is it like, I mean, I know you're working with a lot of staff, and there's lots of logistics that go along with this, because you're literally like having to, you know, keep two places running at the same time now. So how have you guys been approaching that?
Well, that's great. I think we really just started that conversation this week and trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be down there? You know, can we do it with the staff that we currently have? How do people's roles change? And I'm certain that I'll, especially at first, be spending a significant amount of time at both places. You know, right when, I'm sure when we open, I'll be down there a lot. And just as much as from the business perspective, from the membership sales perspective, even more so than a coach, than an on the floor coach, that I'll be down there a lot, you know, trying to make connections in the neighborhood and going around. And, you know, one of the things I love to do is just kind of making friends in the neighborhood. You know, who's around, who can I go meet that might really benefit from what we have to offer. So that's what I'm most excited about, is from that perspective. You know, once you get them in the door, anybody can coach a deadlift, you know, in a squat, right? I think. But I really want to find out the kind of people that would really enjoy what we do and really benefit from what we do.
There's a couple places I want to go in our discussion today, but I think maybe the best place to start is with, you know, education and continuing education and implementation of that education, because this is something we were discussing a little bit before we started officially recording. And it's a really great trend right now, where we have a lot of people that are really enthusiastic about, like, I have my Audible account, I have my Kindle, and, like, you know, there's usually always a book that is either playing in my ears or putting me to sleep at night, for better or worse. And I'm kind of curious, like, you know, what are your thoughts on the education standpoint of, like, you know, how we can be better implementing the stuff that we're digesting? Because it seems like, you know, some people that are reading like a book a week, a book every 2 weeks, like some books that you kind of almost like look at the list, you'd be like, these are kind of like conflicting subjects and stuff like that. I'm kind of just curious on your general thoughts on implementation and like digestion of that stuff, trying to figure out, you know, what is going to be worth actually implementing in what we do in the field of fitness professionals.
Yeah, great question. And we definitely were talking about this. So I want to give you permission, if at any point when I start speaking, to feel free to cut me off or ask me more questions.
Yeah, man, let's just riff.
Yeah. So listen, yeah, I think it's awesome, right? Like, education is so important. It's so valuable. And we certainly at MFF have really, really high educational standards. You know, we even keep track of the education everybody's doing. We have team readings. We work on certain education skills every week at our team meeting. We do, you know, online courses, but millions of other things. We go to seminar, all this stuff, right? And I think that's awesome. I think that's truly what helps make us, I'll say, tied for the best with many of my colleagues at what we do. And so that's awesome. I just want to say that first, that, like, yes, I'm a huge proponent of education and you must read a lot and, you know, watch DVDs on fitness and educate yourself. But I also know that education for the sake of just education could turn into to academia, where we can, you see it all the time. Many of our colleagues and people that I like a lot and are friends with, education could turn into a platform where we all fight or jerk each other off on Facebook right. or Twitter or our articles that we write. And I'm guilty of it too, where we just say, well, you know, we get so reductive about it. And not to mention the fact that your education must help what you're doing on the front lines, whether you're a coach or in sales or running a business, or else you're just, if I might say this, you're just jerking off, you know, metaphorically jerking it off, and you're not wise. You know, the only, in my opinion, again, this is my opinion, education is there to help you create more knowledge so you can use it and translate it into your own wisdom. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, I'm not impressed that, you know, you have read every single book on training unless you've used them and created your own viewpoint on how to express that. Mm-hmm. And now, luckily for me, you know, many of my closest friends, you know, Mark and so many other people I know have really done that well. But I think that that's important for, yes, at the beginning, you know, one of the things we always say is if you're an up-and-coming trainer, read everything, educate yourself on everything. Mm-hmm. Well, great. That's step one. Then the next step towards wisdom is to say, well, how do I use that? Like, what am I doing with that? You know, at what point am I learning more about the deadlift and actually able to utilize that? I'm just using the deadlift as an example. Mm-hmm. And then able to translate that to what I'm physically doing on the floor for 6 hours a day. Let's talk about it from a business perspective. I'm running a business. Let's say I'm running a business, a fitness business. I can read books on, you know, The Speed of Trust by Covey. I can read Extreme Ownership. I can read Legacy. I could go on for days, right? Every single business book on earth. I could read Essentialism, which I loved. I love Gregory McCown. I saw that you had him on the show and I haven't got to listen to it yet.
That's real good.
I mean, I'm obsessed with that book, right? But what good is reading Essentialism going to do if you don't take those lessons, those examples, if you read it and you connect to it, and then you wake up the next day and the first thing you do is jump on Facebook and answer all your Facebook messages. Well, have you done anything? Mm. Or did you just waste the 5 hours that it took you to read Essentialism? So, you know, I don't know. There's a fine line there somewhere.
Yeah, I think this is it's a weird conundrum. I think conundrum is a really good word for it, because obviously you want to continue education. You want to continue to, you know, read things, especially that intrigue you. I think, like, Phenomenon, Phenomenon, the John Travolta movie, kind of a bad movie, but, you know, I think there's a really good line in it. It's like, people were almost like giving him crap for reading so much. It's like, I forget the name of the character, but it's like, oh, John Travolta, why are you reading so much? It's like, well, I'm just really curious about all this stuff. And also we got like zapped by aliens. I forget the exact story, but anyways, I don't know if people even remember that movie. It's a very B-tier film, but the whole point is, you know, if you're really interested, like I went through like a phase like where I was really interested in like potential theories of time travel, because I was like working on like a weird time travel story. So I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm going to go search that out, and it's something I'm really interested in. And I like, you know, digested it by also taking notes on it. And like, that's something that I can actually use in the future. I don't know where I'm going with this, but hang on with me. Just stay on the ride for a couple more seconds. But I think what the problem is, like, you know, people just like read all these books. They like go to audible.com or they go to amazon.com. They look at like the top 10 self-development books. They look at the top 10 business books. They look at the top 10, you know, training books, and they just read them all because that's what they believe is supposed to be read. And then they, like you said, they kind of just, nothing changes. Like, they read them and, you know, they post that, hey, I read this book on Facebook and it's awesome, you should go read it. And then like you see them 2 months later, and I'm guilty of this, like you see them 2 months later and be like, yo man, I just had a conversation with Kev Larrabee, like he sounds like he didn't read that book. Like, he might have read it, but he's not implementing any of that stuff. He's you know, I'm trying to think of like a really good example, but I think like extreme ownership is like a good one. Like if I read Extreme Ownership and then I talk to you and I start like making a bunch of excuses of why a bunch of bad stuff happened, you know, in my life or at work or something like that. It's like, yeah, it wasn't my fault. Like it was because, you know, the scheduling stuff got all messed up. Like wow, he might've read it, but he didn't actually digest that stuff. He didn't implement that stuff into his life. You could almost look at it as a waste of time. So maybe what people need to do is, like, do you think people are just spreading themselves too thin by just constantly reading every new book that people post about on social media, and then they almost just have too many ideas in their head and they just never focus on one of them? Maybe we should just read like a book a month and then just try to spend a month working on implementing the practices and the knowledge of that book before we go on to the next book that's in the same category, but it just has a little bit of a different spin, has a couple different stories. Then, you know, maybe it has like stories about Albert Einstein and his success versus Steve Jobs and his success, like it, but it's the same stuff.
I love you for asking this question. I'm like dying laughing. I had to put myself on mute because I actually spit my coffee out. I was like, what a lovely question. No, dude, listen, obviously I don't know the answer, right? Because it's the old thing that we've heard a million times. The truth is probably somewhere in the nuance in the middle, right? Mm. It's the idea that the yogis need to be bodybuilders and bodybuilders need to do yoga. You know, there's either probably the people out there that are like, I don't need to read crap. I know everything. They probably should go the other way. And then there's probably the rest of us who read everything and we're like, no, why don't we just stick to something and do the damn thing? It's probably like a give and take from both sides somewhere. But I don't know. In my mind, I imagine that the answer is, if you read something, I remember, like, so for instance, I mentioned, let me use a different example. I'm the biggest Stephen Pressfield fan on earth. I'm obsessed with The War of Art, Turning Pro, Do the Work, you know, mm-hmm. the works. He writes so simply and plainly, and I connect to it. And I've read The War of Art with zero exaggeration at least 25 or 30 times.
Wow.
And so now I've said, okay, great. So I know this book connects to me. So I'm going to use it. I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to do this thing. And I've always, you and I have even talked about this before. I'm going to write more. This is something I've always wanted to do. So I said, okay, this is the time for I'm going to do it. I'm going to commit to this thing and I'm going to do it. So I have, right? So I've been able to take this thing. I said, even if it takes me away from the other education that I probably could be doing, I'm actually going to say, no, I said that I want to write more and I'm going to be a pro at this thing. I'm going to commit to my time and I'm going to get this work done, work on this thing that I've been trying to write for the last 15 years. I've had this idea and I would get 2 days into it and I would stop doing it. So now I say to myself, I'm going to utilize this book, some of the lessons from this book, from this author, and do it. And now 3 months later, I've written more than I have in the entire last 15 years. So that's something good that I've done, right? Like, I'm proud of that. I'm not saying that to like brag on me, but I'm saying that to like, I finally, after reading, I don't know, 20 books on writing. So think about that. I've read probably at least 20 that I could name off the top of my head books on what it is to be a writer. And never had I gotten past day 2 or 3 when it came to my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, okay, well, this book connected to me, you know. So, but then, of course, you could also pull that apart and say, well, maybe you had to read all those other books to finally get to the book that would work for you. I don't know, right? Like, so who knows what the answer is? But I know is if you get that thing that connects to you, then do it. If Essentialism by Gregor Mikhail, and I read that, I was like, oh, my God, yes. Like, you know, it's basically, in my mind, the newer version of Eat That Frog, right? Like, it's the same thing. But maybe a little more up to date. So then do it. If you connect to that and you're like, yes, this can change my life. If the 4-hour work week by Tim Ferriss speaks to you and you work some sort of corporate job or something, then do it. Then don't just say, this book opened my mind up. Mm-hmm. No, if it opened your mind up and you want change, you want things to be different, then do the damn thing. Or you're just a blowhard who read something and is fun to talk to at parties, which is cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Rant over.
Yeah, There's a couple different ways I want to go with this, and I think like this is going to be like this is a good subject to hit on, and you know, the thing that I will never do, and like I've been compared to like the Jay Leno, the fitness industry. Like I never talk, you know, it's always sunshine and rainbows on my show, which, you know, I like because, hey guys, let's just have a good time. Let's learn some good stuff and let's have a better day. Yeah. But I think, you know, as I get older, as I get to meet a lot of people in the industry, as I get to see what I like and what I don't like about the field of fitness, you can maybe like get a general idea by like the people that I talk to. Wow, now I'm kissing your butt. That I talk to a lot on the show, because there's definitely trends in the fitness industry that I like and that I don't like. There's, you know, a certain trend of fitness professional that I like more than others, because, you know, I believe there's a certain value to being authentic, honest. Not always thinking promotion first, but really thinking helping first. That means a lot to me with the people that I talk to, the people that whose voices that I want to share with the audience as well. That's very important for me in terms of the voice of this show and the tone of it and what it stands for. That's very important. So I think that also kind of, man, where am I going with this? This is the problem is I was out late last night and energy drinks only help so much. I should probably not drink so many energy drinks, man. But, you know, like maybe we'll get back to the book stuff for a second and I can wrap back around and tie this bow. But I think what a lot of us make the mistake on with like reading a bunch of books, whether it be in the field of fitness or like, again, self-development, business, whatever, is it's almost like the same kind of idea as what we run into when we start getting into training, when we, you know, we're program hopping, where we don't have enough knowledge to know if this is a good program, if it's better than that one, or if this new one that was just posted on T Nation is the best program ever. If this is the one that's going to solve all my problems, this is what's going to get me to a 300-pound bench, or it's going to get me to, you know, 10% body fat or whatever. I think, you know, maybe what we need to do is we almost need to just have like a really good foundational base of knowledge so we can better understand which books are more valuable. And that's why it's really intriguing that you gravitated towards essentialism. Like again, I did too. I think that's why, you know, worked for months to get Greg on the show, because I think that is something that everyone should, that's a book that everyone should read. It's a book that everyone can benefit from. It's the couple books that I still have on my shelf. I think that they're books everyone can benefit from. And it's not just the cool new book to read. It's like a book that you could read to actually help yourself and help other people, which is maybe an angle that we should look to get at a little bit better. Is like, you know, once you're done with the book, you're really doing yourself a disservice if you don't have a couple pages of notes. Why was this book important to me? Why is this something that I would recommend to someone? Why is it a book that I might want to go back to in a year or two and re-listen to it or reread it? Is it something that I can actually take this information and make my life or other people's lives better because of it? Or is it just, yeah, like you know, Brian said, like this is going to be really cool to bring up at a party. Like I have some really cool research that someone did. I don't know.
No, dude, I think you're right. Like, and there's so many great things to pull apart from that too. And number one is like, well, how do we know? You know, let's talk about the important role of friends and mentors. You know, I know Kevin Larrabee, who I trust a lot, who knows my character, right? So you may and have said, hey, BPM, have you checked this thing out yet? Knowing you, I think you would connect to this. So there's one part of this, right, which is who do you have in your life that can see you or may know your strengths or even your weaknesses, hopefully, that they can say, hey, check this thing out. This is going to help you. I really believe this is worth your time. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it, I believe. You know, hey, BPM, you know, you're really, I know you want to get better at sales, and I think this approach is something that you'll really connect to. Why don't you check this out and see how you can create MFF's version of this? Mm-hmm. You know, I just had that talk with Michael Keeler yesterday, owner of Mark Fisher Fitness. Mm-hmm. He and I are trying to do something a little bit different with some certain things. And he said, hey, let's have a meeting. Let's listen to this thing and then come to me and tell me how we can use some of these things and then create our own idea around this. And I was like, what a great thing, right? Like, with, between the two of us, we've probably read a bunch of things. And then he said, we get together and said, well, let's pull this apart and figure out what works for us. So that's useful, right? That's a mm-hmm. that's a useful amount of my time, because I had somebody that said, oh, this will be something that BPM can really connect to and figure out, versus just the sake of doing it, which again, I'm not saying is wrong at all. You're right. Like, I don't know what the answer is. But you know, at some point, you know, you made the great point either. You made the analogy and connected it to training somebody on the floor. Well, how the heck do you know, you're training a 40-year-old, how do you know what program works for them if they don't stick with it for a year or two? And yeah, I mean, and when I say that, I mean a year or two, mm-hmm. because, you know, oh, I'm going to do a 5x5, you know, big lifts program. I'm going to do it for, you know, 4 weeks and then I'm bored and I'm going to move on. Well, how do you know if that did anything? Yeah, mm-hmm. your numbers probably went up a little bit and you're probably pretty tired, but, you know, commit to the damn thing. Do it. You know, I know that I said to myself, I was talking about my own writing process. I hope this is okay that I talk about this. And like I said before, I had gotten, you know, 2 days into it and then stopped. And so what I said now is, you know, kind of going from the Stephen Pressfield approach of just doing the work, I said, okay, I'm going to do this for 365 days. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let myself edit it. It doesn't matter if it's total trash. I'm not allowed to look at it at all for the quality of it. I'm not letting myself do that. I'm not letting that resistance get in the way of me doing my work. And in 365 days, I'm going to look back at it and say, what do I have here? But I'm not letting myself get myself in the way of judging my work before I've done it. I have this conversation with people at work all the time. They'll say, I really want to write an article. And they get in their own way because they try to make this article perfect. They write two paragraphs and they go, oh, but it was crap, so I didn't even want to go with it. So I'm just going to keep my thoughts out. Well, that happens to all of us, right? That's happened to everybody I know. And I'm like, of course that makes sense to do that. That's what everybody does. But the people that are really getting content out there, your first podcast was probably terrible, wasn't it?
Oh, dude, the first, this is a running thing, like almost everyone, and God bless everyone that says hi to me at seminars and stuff like that. But everyone knows, don't listen to anything before episode 100 unless it's a specific guest that you want to hear their answers on certain subjects. And also keep in mind, the information is now 10 years old and a lot of it has evolved since then.
Right. Listen to what you just said there. Episode 100. 99.9999% of people, of all people that have ever hosted a podcast, have never made it to 5. I don't know if that's a true statistic, but it probably is. I could guarantee you that that number never made it to 100. And you've done what, 400 now?
Yeah, I think this is going to be like 405.
Right, exactly. So think about that. Like, you can't, you're sitting here like laughing about your first 100. Think how many hours you spent doing 100 podcasts.
Well, I think even maybe it is a good analogy for some of this stuff is, you know, I think even I didn't get good at interviewing until 300 episodes, like for real. Like, I think I'm much more proud of the last maybe 100 than 300, even more so. Like, it just kind of gets better. Like, people that, you know, come on the show, like, you know, like we didn't have an outline for the show. I'm just like, hey, let's get on the phone and let's have like a good conversation. And 10 years ago, it's, you know, BPH, what are your three favorite lower body training exercises? Like, that's not an interview. Maybe that is an interview, but like, I think an audience, you can let me know if I'm right or wrong, but I think the show is a little bit better when it's just, yo, let's have a conversation about, you know, life and training and fitness and nutrition. And that is usually when you can get the best information. The people that I usually have outlines for, it's because I've either never met them, I've never had them on the show, and that's why even like the first time that they're on the show, it can sometimes be a little bit bumpy, but I know that second time is going to be badass. I know that second time, if I want to have them on again for a second interview, I know it's going to be way better because I know their cadence, I know like their rhythm of speaking, and I know what better questions to ask them. And that's kind of like with all this stuff, it's just maybe it just gets better over time, and maybe we'll even get better at social media someday, because right now I think we're all pretty bad at it.
Oh yeah, we're heinous at it, no doubt. No, and you're so right, man. I mean that you know, I appreciated earlier, you're like, I sound like I'm kissing Brian's butt. Hey, you're always welcome to kiss my butt. I love my butt being kissed, so thank you for that. But you know, I always love to kiss your butt too, and because I mean it, like, you didn't let the fact that you weren't great at it or even good at it for your first 100, 200, or 300 episodes keep you from still doing the work, from saying, hey, I know there's something here. I want to do this thing. I'll eventually get good at it. So see, there's the evolution. There's the process. And here you are 405 episodes later, and there's nobody in the fitness, nutrition, exercise science world that doesn't know who you are, that doesn't know what the FitCast is.
Okay, that's not true. But again, I appreciate
that. Okay, it's mostly true.
We're going to pause for just a second so I can tell you guys about our brand new sponsor. And I promise you're going to want to stick around because you're going to get a great deal. Plus, you're going to learn about a fantastic product. And I've talked to you guys in the past. I'm never going to talk about products on this show that I don't fully believe in. And this is getting the Kevin Larrabee or the FitCast stamp of approval to the utmost extent. So I'm kind of infamous for maybe trying a bunch of greens products and complaining about how they taste bad. And the problem is, like, if something tastes so bad, it doesn't matter what's in it, you're never going to use that product, right? So Organifi has really hit it out of the park with green juice because they have a great lineup of ingredients in there. Plus, it tastes really good. And let me just give you a couple things, all right? So it's got the badges. It's USDA organic. It's gluten-free. It's soy-free. It's dairy-free. It is vegan. And the cool thing about it, this lineup of ingredients is out of the park. So we got wheatgrass, we have matcha green tea, we got spirulina, we got beets in there, we got turmeric in there. And the cool thing about this stuff is, like I said, it tastes good. Like, you're going to drink it and be like, oh yeah, this actually tastes really good. Like, I look forward to having green juice. And you know, this is all about covering our bases because we want to make sure like we're getting in good nutrition every single day, but we live a busy lifestyle. Like, you guys know me, like, I'm traveling, I'm flying all over the place. I'm probably going to be going to Tokyo soon again. So I know, especially Tokyo, sometimes getting vegetables is a little tough there. You guys, you're going to be going on a travel. You're going to want those go packs as well, because you can throw a couple in your bag. Whenever you're at the airport, you shake it up in a bottle, you are good to go. So I highly recommend this product, and you're going to get 20% off when you go and check it out. If you tried a bunch of greens products and you'd be like, yeah, this doesn't taste so good, green juice, it's the answer for you, because they get a great blend of ingredients in there. You're going to get a ton of benefits from it as well. And it's just finally we found it. So high quality ingredients, you're going to 100% money back guarantee on all this stuff, guys. It is just a no brainer. It's no risk. And again, you're going to get 20% off with the code FITCAST. That's FITCAST when you order through their online store. So you can just go to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com or OrganifiShop.com. Check out the green juice. Go for that. Order it right now. And like I will say, I think when I talked to them last, they have a little bit of a back order on that stuff right now. So hopefully you can get in your order soon. And you can even do the subscribe and save, like just like Amazon. You subscribe and save, you set it up for a monthly delivery, and you save even more. You save like an extra like 18% when you do that. So go check them out, Organifi.com. Let's get back to the show. But let me take a step back and let me mention a word that you brought up in the previous back and forth. Okay. It's about commitment, right? It's about you know, there's lots of stakes that are on commitment, and it's trying to figure out, like, this is the thing that we as fitness professionals need to figure out, where do we find the fuel for that? Where do we find the fuel and the people that we're trying to help into making sure that tank of commitment is always, you know, at least half full. We need it to be half full, because if that commitment runs out, that's when people stop showing up. That's when people, you know, start saying like, oh man, like, I didn't lose any weight this week. I'm just, screw it. Like, it's not working. I'm going to go and drink a bunch of beer and get a bunch of pizza, because who cares? Like, it wasn't working anyways. Like, we need to figure out, you know, what is it going to be? Like, what's that magic formula, that magic, you know, the solar panel for commitment, that renewable energy that we can allow not only for ourselves to get better, but for the people that we help? Like, is it goal setting? Is it like trying to figure out what's like the right map to the destination that we want to get to? Is it, and this is something I want to talk to you about today, is like, is it like just being better at interviewing those people to figure out exactly why they're doing what they're doing? Why, like, what do they actually want? Or even with interviewing ourselves, because I think that is, we're almost, maybe I talked with Lisa, by the time this has come out, I just talked to Lisa a couple days ago, but Lisa Lewis, like, it's the fact that we suck at listening to ourselves. Like, humans and individuals are really terrible at being honest with ourselves, and we usually aren't until it's the rock bottom, right? Which is usually when we see some changes, when we hit absolute rock bottom, we almost are allowing us, we're vulnerable, and we allow ourselves to be honest with ourselves. But, you know, how do we do that without having to get to such drastic measures with ourselves and with the people that we're trying to help? How do we do it?
Oh God, brother. Well, Lisa probably knows better than I do, but, my answer to everything is context is everything, and what works for some people doesn't work for others.
Can we hit on, like,
go ahead.
For real, like, you guys need to know that. Like, that is why you can have someone that does really well with intermittent fasting. You can have some people that do well with low carb. You can have some people that do well with, you know, I don't know, like, any other kind of diet. Like, the thing that you probably avoid is, like, the people that say this is the only way to do it. Like, this, my program is the one that's right. If you look at, in like, PN is a great example of how successful you can be by using, you just, it, like, the thing is, like, you just got to really find what is the right, like, what's the right game plan? Like, you got to have a really good game plan for success and not just, like, say, yeah, well, obviously I'm going to use, like, Bill Belichick's defense. Like, that's not going to work for every team. It's not going to work for every, you know, situation. It has to either evolve, or you need to find the one that's going to be, you know, the right play to call out of that playbook for the situation that's in front of you at that time.
I so appreciate, by the way, that it's Sunday and you're using all the sports metaphors.
Patriots are up 3 touchdowns in the second quarter. Those poor Miami Dolphins. I'm so sorry.
So you're watching football while I'm talking to you.
Nope. I actually have I have this thing called a smartphone, and there's little updates. Like, it tells me when someone scores. And I don't really care about NFL football. It's just that it just still happens.
Hey, listen, it's okay. And I told him I would shout him out. I'm sitting here. I was texting Tony Gentilcore while we were talking. So sorry about it.
Well, yeah, but that's what this problem with smartphones is, like, now, like, Google knows that I live in Massachusetts. So it sends me updates on my Android phone. Like, last night, it's telling me, like, the Red Sox game, the Red Sox are beating the Yankees, are up 5-6. And I'm like, I never even told it to do this. Like, it just does it because Google knows everything about me, and there's no such thing as privacy anymore, which is
none whatsoever.
This is it. You know, it's a trade-off that I guess we all agreed to make at some point.
Mm-hmm. We did. Hey, let me go back to what you were just saying, and which you said beautifully when we talked about context and everybody being different. And PN, by the way, I'm sure everybody knows it's listening, but that he's still talking about precision nutrition.
Oh, did I not say precision nutrition?
No, you were so bro-tastic. I loved it. You were like,
it's probably because for 10 years, ever since I talked to John Berardi in episode number 5, I've had issues saying precision nutrition. It's a hard combo.
That's really hard to say.
It is hard to say. That's what you say. Yeah, PN.
Right? But you're totally right. Some people – so listen, let's use this as a salesperson, right? So they come in. They want to get healthy, whatever. To some people that come into MFF, a huge motivating factor for them or reason for them to stick to it is because of the financial accountability, right? Let's say they buy one of our smaller memberships and they're paying $300 a month around there. Yeah. And they're coming three times a week. To some people that we train, that they are literally scraping pennies and bringing us envelopes to pay us that money. So that's a very motivating, accountable factor for them. Mm-hmm. This matters to me so much that there's no chance that I'm going to miss a class or a training session because it's so expensive to me. It's so far out of reach of what I should actually probably be spending at the gym that there's no way I'll miss. So there's their accountability, right? People need that accountability. A lot of them need the accountability. So I agree on that. That's really effective for some people. Mm-hmm. Other people we train pay us close to $1,000 a month, and the money is of absolutely no factor and no accountability. Mm-hmm. People in New York City and obviously everywhere on earth make a lot of money, some of them. Some people make millions and millions of dollars a year, and $1,000 a month is a joke to them. So the money means nothing to them. There's some people that don't have the money and the money's still not a factor for them. There's other people that have tons of money and the money is an accountability factor for them, right? It's about – so it's something inside of them that makes it matter to them. Mm. You know, for me, I got married almost a year ago, 11 months ago, and I never take my wedding ring off. So again, I'm saying this works for me. I do heavy deadlifts, kettlebell snatches, work with kettlebells, and my finger, it's probably not very safe, but damn it, when I said yes to this, when I said I'm doing this, to me, to Brian Patrick Murphy, I said, that's my commitment. Mm-hmm. That's it. Because I said I would. That works for me. Now, if I lead somebody else from that perspective, that could be really humiliating to them, perhaps. To some people, that's not strong enough, or that seems too hardcore or something. To me, it's not. I show up and work out 4 days a week because I committed to myself those 4 days that I would be there. The end. Not because said that I'm going to get my 500-pound deadlift this month, or because I'm going to have abs by the time I'm 40. And again, there's nothing wrong with those goals. But for me, it's enough, works for me to say I'm there 4 times a week because I effing said that I would be. Mm-hmm. And it's about my word. So the strongest motivating accountability factor for me is my integrity of saying that I would. I said that I would write for 365 days. So I'm going to do it. That's what it takes for me. Other people have to find other things. That's my job as a life coach, as a physical coach. So I have to find out, well, what are those things or thing to that person that's going to be strong enough for them to want to continually show up? Because if we don't help them figure out what it is, it'll be nothing.
Have you found any common correlations between the general population that has caused, again, you guys have had a lot of success by getting people into incredible shape at MFF, or, you know, making sure that they're continuing to come back and be healthier people every single time that they walk out that door at the end of the session. Have you found any kind of, common things between that population that you think we could use to, help people that we're trying to help?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. The first one that comes to my mind is perhaps kind of what I just said, is that a lot of people, I'll ask them at the beginning of class, what brought you here today? That would be, why did you show up today with all the other things you could be doing in New York City today at 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday? Why did you show up? And I will say a lot of people say, and again, this is such a small sample size, right? It's MFF is small and there's only 15 people per class. So I'm not saying this is everybody, but I hear a lot of times because I put it in my schedule and this is a thing I said that I would commit to and I keep showing up for it. I showed up because I said I would, because I put it in my schedule and it's a thing that I told myself I was going to do today. Now, that may somewhere be tied into their happiness, to their physique, to their health, whatever. but they actually showed up because they made a commitment to it, and they're honoring their commitment to doing the thing. Does that make sense? It's the same thing, but it's different, right?
No, totally. And it's kind of getting my gears going. The gears are kind of turning a little bit in my head, because I've been thinking about this in terms of my personal motivation. The people that I work with is trying to figure out, okay, yeah, we have definitely different kind of personalities, and that is a role that is going to be played. But trying to really, like, this is something that I'm sure other people have talked about that have been on this show, but like, holy crap, like almost the simplest thing you could do for yourself or for the people that you're trying to help is say, like, all right, things are really bad right now. Like, you're here for a reason. You're here to make a change. You're coming to me for help. And what has worked in the past? Like, what was there ever a time of success? Was there ever a time where you used to come to the gym 3 days a week, like you had it locked in, but for some reason it stopped happening? Like, why was it locked in? What were the conditions? What were the circumstances of that success? What was going on at that time where you had like your nutrition locked in, like you're getting your, you know, lean protein and vegetables, like, you know, at, you know, 4 out of your 5 meals of the day or something like that? What was actually going on? Like, look at that success and use it as a, like, almost as a template. It's like, don't repeat the mistakes of your past. It's like why we teach history, is like making sure that we continue to progress as a people and not regress as a people. And I think that is like a valuable tool. And I think it does still go back to like interviewing. It's like trying to make sure, if you're thinking to yourself, like, yeah, I'm just like not, my training is not really good right now. Like, for some reason, you know, and this is, you guys are hearing it from me, you're hearing it from my heart. Like, this is, you know, someone that go listen to those shows that I did with Chris Scott Dixon. Like, I'll be real with you guys. Like, I'm not like the perfect fitness professional. Like, there are times when my nutrition's terrible. There are times when my training, it happens, but it's not at full intensity. It's lackluster. But what I've done in terms of being better at this is always looking at, like, well, why, what was my mindset at where, all right, I was really good for those 6 weeks. Like, my nutrition was locked in. My training was better than ever. Like, I was hitting like new goals and just crushing chin-ups and crushing like all that stuff. Like, what was going on? All right. Well, maybe we just got to go back to that. Maybe it's that simple. And usually it is. Maybe you need to make a little bit of course correction along the way. But a lot of times it's like, you guys, we kind of know what works. You kind of know what works for yourself. Let's just, you know, wrap back around.
Yeah, let me say this. Okay, so I'm going to question you now, and then I'm going to give you my thought.
Turning
to you,
the tables.
What is the only – yeah, turn it around, baby. What is the only thing that we absolutely know for sure as coaches with all of the research, what is the only thing we absolutely know to be true about getting results? Do you know what it is?
Repeat that question one more time. Let's let that marinate for a second.
Okay. With all of the information and all the millions, probably millions, at least hundreds of thousands of books and seminars and everything that we have on fitness, when it comes to getting results, what is the single factor that the only one, in my opinion, that we absolutely know works? What is the only thing that we absolutely, without a doubt, know works?
I'm going to give you two answers.
Okay.
Okay. One is doing the work.
Bam. Done. Over. Great. Tell me what your second one is so that I can argue that number one is the only thing, but go for it.
No, it's just going to be, you know, people don't like to argue this, but nope. People get into all kinds of internet arguments about nutrition and like carbohydrates and stuff, but you know, at the end of the day, like, a big part of it is just like a little bit of a numbers game, guys. It's like it's kind of, it's not simple math, but it is more or less a math equation with some extra variables thrown in there, just because, oh my god, like, oh, I don't even want to call out, like, like there's just still like really bad trends of nutrition information being spread by, oh my God, like fitness professionals in this industry, man. Like it's just go to Precision Nutrition. Like they figured it out. Just I don't get paid a cent for that. I don't make any money from Precision Nutrition. They figured it out. Just go look at their free content. Look at their free content. It's done.
Yeah,
they're doing it
yeah.
for you. Go examine.com. Same deal.
Yeah, and obviously I agree with you on number two. But and I even wrote this down. The single thing that we know without question must be done, it's kind of a trick question and you answered it right, is that you got to show up. You have to show up. We run a program at MFF called Snatched in 6 Weeks. Mm-hmm. And now I kind of, you know, they take 3 classes a week and then they work out 2 other times on their own. Oftentimes their other 2 workouts are with us. They do semi-private training or they take some classes or they go do it on their own if they don't want to spend as much money. The first 2 classes of their week, one of our other trainers trains them. And a lot of the classes, I'm kind of the here's another sports metaphor for you. I usually hit 3rd or 4th in the lineup. I show for the third class of the week, they have technique stuff, the first 2 classes. And then I come in the last day and I kind of push them a little bit. And mm-hmm. I say, push them, you know, physically and emotionally and mentally a little bit. And it's probably not a surprise. Those of you that know me, that's kind of my role in the process. It's what I do best. I don't care to stand around and talk about deadlifts for an hour. I'm mm-hmm. saying that's wrong. That's just not my passion. That's not what I do best. Although I can do it well. That's just not my jam as much. I like to look at the deadlift as a metaphor, but that's another story. But when I'm in their 3rd class of week 1, the thing I say to them is this: listen, I cannot guarantee you results in 6 weeks. I can't do it. That would be unethical of me. But what I can absolutely guarantee you is that if you do not show up, you have no chance at results. None whatsoever. So if nothing else, even if you keep eating the exact same thing you're eating, you shouldn't do that. It's probably not going to work. But if you can only do the bare minimum, you must show up.
Mm.
Then we can get to the next thing, right? If week 1, if somebody comes to you, Kevin, and they're 50 years old and they have never had any exercise in their life, which, by the way, is a lot of people, and you say to them, your first week in this program, you've got to eat exactly 2,200 calories a day. 150 of them are protein. You've got to have 47 grams of carbs. And they're like, wait, what are you talking about? I don't even know what protein is. I don't even know what carbs are, which, by the way, is also a lot of people. You wouldn't think it is, but we have the curse of knowledge. And if you say to them, you must do all these things perfectly week 1, well, how excited are they actually going to be to show up? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be like, well, God, this guy was so intense. Like, what do you mean I have to get this perfect? Like, I've never stepped into a gym in my life, and now they're telling me that I got to be perfect at all these things? No. Week 1, show up. Right? That's why PN works. Week 1, focus on this one thing. Do this one thing. Then we'll get to the next thing. Week 1, can you show up 3 times and maybe – drink 1 more glass of water
mm-hmm.
if you haven't worked out in 50 years of life. Then let's work. Prove to yourself that you can get that going. Then we'll worry about the next thing. Let's educate you on what a calorie is. Let's spend time doing that. Once you grasp that, let me know. We'll communicate about that.
Mm.
But if I say to them, well, now we have to nail your nutrient timing, which, by the way, yep, that can work, right? Like, that can work for a lot of people. But what do you mean nutrient timing? Aren't I just supposed to like eat a little bit better? Yes, just eat a little bit better. You know, so I could really go off about this, which I am already. But for the love of God, like, it's about you must show up. We're not talking to people that are like Brian Patrick Murphy that has been working out my entire life and I like it.
Have you seen The Truman Show, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Truman Show, Drew Carey movie. You know, there's a great
Jim Carrey, not Drew Carey. That was hilarious.
Did I say Drew Carey?
You sure did, brother.
I don't think I did. We'll check the tapes, but we'll check the hard drive. But the thing in that movie is, you know, he's starting to figure it all out. He's like, something's not right here. And then his wife starts like doing an ad for coffee, and it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Who are you talking to? And that's what I feel like when I see, you know, lots of fitness professionals that are almost like trying to overcomplicate things for the sake of looking smart. Like, what population are you really talking to right now? Because if you're talking about dialing things down to that kind of a degree, like doing, like you're talking to a physique competitor type population, but that's not who's following you.
Exactly.
Your followers are the general population. The people you work at a boss, like a New York sports club. You're training the 50-year-old, right, you know, office worker, and I'm like I'm seeing you post about like just the most unbelievable minutia. Like and you're doing it wrong. Like you're missing the boat and you're confusing the hell out of people, and that is why we're not able to reach as many people as we would like. Like, that's just something that has been like my thing for 2016. I've been thinking, like, and writing about more than anything. And like, when I write my journal stuff, is God, as an industry, we're still screwing the people so hard that we're trying to help. Like, and you aren't, MFF isn't, Mike Ball Strength and Conditioning isn't, but I think we are all accountable to a certain extent for the rest of the, you know, the people that we're trying to, that were considered, you know, associates in the fitness industry are the people that we see at the Perform Better Summits. Like, I almost want to say, like, you guys, like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're not helping people. You're just making it more confusing. You're like, I don't know. So that's ranty stuff. And that's unfortunately what happens when we're almost out of time, and B, I'm sleep deprived and on energy drinks. But D, you got to make sure that you go out and have a great time and hang out with friends, even if it involves a 2.5 hour drive home. Yes. At 1 o'clock in the morning. You got to do
yes.
it.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, brother, man, I that was as impassioned as I like to get that subject right there. So I agree with you, man. We got to lead better as leaders of this industry.
Yeah.
We have to lead better. We have to lead the up and coming folks. I'm almost 40 years old and I have to say, hey, this is there for the taking. A successful business is there for the taking.
Yeah. I mean, it's
okay to know about minutia.
Sure.
Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the last thing I'll say. I'll let you finish is, you guys, like, this also is like, should be looking at like the people that you follow. Like, what are you getting out of, you know, their information? Because, you know, that's kind of unfortunately the way of the internet fitness industry is, like, at a certain point, like, people are going to try to make money. They're going to try to find like a certain niche. And like, that's awesome. If you're finding success in what they're, you know, telling you, that's awesome. Like, that's what it should be all about. But, this is just for me personally, but I think it's always good for people to kind of almost do a, like a gut check on this stuff is, you know, the people that you're following, like, are they positive people? Are they people like making snarky comments? Are they people like, I won't name who it was, like, but like fat shaming people? Like, is that who you think is like a good person to follow? Like, if your client saw that you were like, if your client knew that you read their stuff and, you know, saw them speak and like they're a whack job or that they are just huge assholes. Like, is that something that you would want to like bring you a party and be like, yeah, this is someone that I really trust. This is one of my mentors. I think you got to consider that. And that's just for me being 30 years old and super old.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, and here's my thing. Like, I'm not even going to, everybody gets to do them, you know, you get to do you, and maybe you create a really successful business by doing those things that you mentioned that aren't my thing, right? That doesn't connect to me. That's not my jam. And I'm not even going to say like you can't do that. I'm not going to argue with about it, but like, I just know. And I'm like, hey man, that's like transcendent a little bit for me. Cause I go, that's cool, man. Or gal, like you're allowed to do that. Like that's your jam. You're just not going to see me do that on Facebook. I'm just not going to tear people apart like that. And all I can tell you is that the fruits of not doing that are pretty damn good. You know, and if you attract people by doing that, if somebody wants to attract people to them from that perspective, you do you, man.
Yeah,
you right. do you. That's just not what what I'm going to do. Because let me tell you what, it's awful nice when people give me a hug when they walk in to see me and they go, man, I just like being around you. It feels good. You're a nice person. And you know what? That means more to me than saying, you know how to, you know, you know more, you're more educated on the conventional deadlift than any trainer ever, and of the minutiae of what a calorie in your body means. You're like, what? No, that just doesn't connect to me. That's not genuinely who I am. So that's just not what I'm going to do. That's not, you know. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. I know that that's, you know, Dan John and I talk about that all the time, actually. You know, Dan was just at MFF, and I know you and he are friends as well. And I brought him in. I was teaching some semi-private training, and he walked right in the room, and I was like, hey, everybody, let's just stop for a second. Legendary Dan John. I was like, Dan, any words of advice, words of wisdom, give them to us. And he was like, yeah. He's like, well, you know, today matters. A week doesn't. A month doesn't. A year doesn't. But 5 years does. Show up today and for 5 years, about 3 or 4 times a week, working at about 70 to 75%, and don't hurt yourself and enjoy it. There's my advice, everybody. On with your day. You know, it was like, it was so the simplicity behind it. And by the way, ain't nobody out there calling Dan out. Like, he's done it all. He's lived it. He's done it. He's competed at the highest of levels. He's coached the highest of levels. And it took him about 15 seconds to give his most eloquent advice, which is just like, yep, just show up a few times a week. You know, over the scheme of 5 years, you want to be at about 75%, and that's it. Because if you go too hard, you're probably going to have a bunch of injuries, you know, but you got to work hard enough. You got to show up. You don't need to show up 7 days a week, but you can't show up 1 day a week, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, that's called wisdom, right? That's called wisdom. It's called wisdom. And I was very appreciative of that.
There's no better way to end the show.
We have a really hard time, don't we?
Yeah, for real, for real. But I think that's that's a good place to end it. And this is where, you know, I'm going to try to do a better job with this. And you, by the time that this comes out to like the public, you guys will probably have seen some more of this stuff. But as you may know, I launched the FitCast Network in April of 2016. And as a business, I've been trying to work really hard to make it successful. And, you know, there's been some great advertisers like Pedestal Footwear has been helping out the cause. But I think, you know, it's important for me to mention, one, like if you're a Patreon, listen to this, I like to always just say like, thank you so much, because, you guys aren't just like helping support me, you're helping support this business. And like, I'm investing money back into it and doing more video content, up on YouTube, which I hope you can go check out. And also, again, like, you know, the success of this business is not based on advertising. It's just not always going to work like that, because, you know, the show is really produced for the listeners. If I wanted to make a show that potentially got more downloads, I would have a little bit different structure, a little bit different tone to it, and it would be filled with ads. I don't want to do that. So the thing that I just like to mention, that, you know, if you do enjoy this show, if you do find some value in it, it means a lot. People do become patrons at patreon.com/thefitcast. It doesn't just support this show, it supports the network, and it supports my ability to continue to make this show every single week. So I really hope, if you've been listening for years, or if you just jumped on and you're in the position to do so, not taking, you know, your food money and putting it towards this, but like, yeah, I got, you know, I can deal with an extra cup of coffee's worth of money a month and help out, you know, the show, and you think it's worth supporting, it would mean a lot if you go and do that. And I know it's a big hurdle too, because it's not just the fact of going and making that contribution. It's a hurdle because you could be listening to this in the car and you're probably going to forget what I just said. But you know, if you do remember, if you find yourself at a computer, go to patreon.com/thefitcast or go to fitcast.network. There's a PayPal tab on the right-hand side, I believe. You can make a one-time donation. People have done that as well. And that does mean so much. And I hope, Do you mind me taking a second on this BPH? Like, is this cool if I do this BPH? Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, for some reason, you know, I think I was watching How I Met Your Mother the other day. Don't ask me why I was watching that. Please don't ask me why I was watching that. God. Anyways.
Take all the time you want, whatever you're going to ask.
Just from Gavin from Fit for the Game. Like, Gavin, there's a great group out in Germany, out in Europe, and they're just kind of just kicking ass or dominating out there. But no, he really stepped up. He made a $100 donation to the Fitcast Network. He's been listening for years, and like that means so much. And sometimes it's just easier to make like a one-time donation. It doesn't have to be $100. Like, it's like some people send me like $5, like, yeah, like, I really love that episode you did last week, like, thanks so much for doing that. Like, it's almost like, obviously it's important to continue to make this business a success so I can continue to like do it and pay the taxes and reinvest and pay all that stuff that goes along with it, the time investment, all that. But it means so much. Every time I get an email from PayPal, from Patreon, it says like, you know, hey, like, you know, George jumped on, he's, you know, supporting the show at $2 per episode. Like, that's a commitment. That means so much. It just shows that, you know, people are listening to this show and people are finding value in it every single week. So I don't do it enough. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that has supported this show for these 400 plus episodes and continues to support me so I can make it 1,000 episodes. I'd really love to be able to come back and fit in like 12 years and we can do one more of these shows and say, yeah, 1,000 episodes. I'm 42 years old. The internet's still around. It's great. And I can continue to do this. So thank you for people that do have done that. Or if you do jump on after this show, or if you just make a one-time donation, it means the world to me. And it goes back into the show and it helps me continue to do the show that I love so much. And that has been my life for a third of my life. So thank you for that. But BPM, Brian Patrick Murphy, thank you so much, sir, for taking time out of your Sunday afternoon that you could be spending outdoors in beautiful New York City and hanging out with me and chatting and hopefully helping the audience out there as well, at least stimulate some minds today.
You're so welcome, my brother. And thank you for being a constant example of what it is to show up and do the work and to really provide great content, man. I really have so much respect for you. Thank you.
No, thank you. And where can people, like, where's the best place to stay up to date with what you are doing? And also, I'm kind of curious, you know, keeping in mind that this might not be heard by everyone for a couple of weeks, do you have any kind of travel coming up, anything that people could potentially, you know, see you at? And I'll preface Ole Miss Murph on Twitter and on Instagram, correct?
Correct. Ole Miss, as in the college that I went to, University of Mississippi. Ole Miss.
How'd you guys do yesterday? That
means. Oh, Alabama, number one team in the nation. We were up 21 points and blew it. Man.
No way.
They beat us by 5. It was terrible. But hey, I'm still a fan. I got my hat on right now. Yeah. Man, I'm so brotastic right now. I got my Ole Miss hat on. I got my Cressy Sports Performance T-shirt on. I'm feeling good. Yeah, but as for your question, yes, Ole Miss Murph is how you find me on Facebook and Twitter. I also have a great WordPress blog. Great. Listen to me. Brian Patrick Murphy /WordPress or whatever. I'm terrible on technology, but I do have a lot of really, really good content on there, or Facebook, Brian Patrick Murphy. Next weekend, I'll be up in the Boston area. I'm getting to see a lot of friends, so they probably won't know this. But at the end of October, if you're a fitness professional, we're actually hosting an MM lab, a Motivate and Movement lab, hosted by Mark Fisher Fitness at our new location the last weekend of October.
Oh, awesome.
And I will, and I'm going to be speaking at that, and I cannot wait. It's going to be really, really awesome. So find that, Motivate. It's called the MM lab, where you can reach out to me, and I'll help you get information about that. But it's going to be absolutely amazing. I'm going to speak about our intake process and basically kind of helping set people up from the very beginning at Mark Fisher Fitness, which is something that I think I do really well. So I'd love for any professionals out there that want to come to New York City, check out the new Ninja Clubhouse, which we'll have up and running by then. The last weekend of October, my mom is going to fly into the city that weekend, and she's even going to be there, so you can meet the woman that birthed me.
She going to be signing photos?
I think so. Baby photos.
Love it. That's an awesome setup. And you guys still have spots available for that?
Yeah, I think we got like 7 or 8 spots left.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, those are going to be sold out. Yeah, if you're going to go, jump on those as soon as humanly possible. All right. Well, Sarah, thank you so much again for taking time out of your Sunday to jump on the phone. Like, this is kind of my life these days where Sundays are pretty much the only time I have left to record this show. So, but there's no better person to be spending my Sunday with than with you. So thank you for doing that. And of course, with this fantastic audience that is tuning in for this episode, and hopefully again, we were able to bring a couple things to the table that are going to allow you to have a better week than you did yesterday. But what would they do if they wanted to have like the best life? What would they do for that?
Who, me? Oh my gosh. Oh man.
I'm giving you an opportunity to talk about your podcast.
Oh.
Jesus.
Oh yeah, you should check out my podcast.
Could I have teed that up any better, folks? Like, let me send me a tweet. Like, if I couldn't have teed that up like better, like what radio station would I tune into if I wanted to have the best life?
You would want to listen to Best Life Radio with your host Brian Patrick Murphy. Best Life Radio. No, yeah, find me. I was like, oh gosh, do you want me to answer this after an hour already? No, seriously, listen to me on Best Life Radio. It's pretty awesome. I don't have as many episodes as you have. And I only do one every couple months, but there's some really good stuff up there. So Best Life Radio, find it. It's pretty darn good.
And listen to Craig Ballantyne was on talking about The Perfect Day Formula, which is an absolute badass book that you should go check out, and go listen to him on Best Life Radio as well.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate the shout out.
Well, that is going to do it for this episode. Again, thank you so much to everyone that has helped supporting the show, whether it be through Patreon, through PayPal, through downloading, through telling a friend, through putting a review on iTunes, to giving me a hug and a handshake and a high five at a summit that you see me at. Any way that you're doing it, thank you so much. And just by tuning in, it means so much. You can check out fitcast.network for not just this show, but all the other podcasts that I produce and the video content as well. I'm going to try my best to suit a bunch of different needs, and working on some really cool video projects that will be of interest of the Fitcast audience as well in the future. And you can follow me at Kevin Larrabee on Twitter, on Instagram. I post pretty regularly on both those if you want to stay up to date with the crazy dumb stuff that goes on in my life.